Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Hi, this is Imogen Lamport from Inside Out Style, and I have come to answer some more of your style questions. So I've copped them off Facebook, put them on some pieces of paper, and we'll do a lucky dip draw today to see the questions you have for me to answer. First one. Catherine says, what colour pants to wear in the spring and summer when you're in a pear or an A-shape, besides a dark wash, denim or navy? I think the thing that's really important to remember when we're choosing colours, particularly when we want to make something less obvious. So if you're an A-shape, she's decided she doesn't want to make her lower body into something that's a feature. So therefore, immediately we think, I need to go really dark. But in fact, we just need to go A, darker than our skin, and B, darker than whatever we're wearing on the top. It doesn't have to be really dark, it just has to be darker. And I think that's what's really important. So for example, even here with my top, my collar is lighter than my jumper. And so you could have a light wash denim like this as long as your top is lighter. It doesn't have to be really dark. And so I think that's something to remember. Also, you want to think about what is your natural value contrast. So how light or dark your overall outfit should be to start with as well. So if you have got fair hair like mine, it's actually better to go with a lighter pair of jeans or pants than to go with a really dark pair anyway, because they relate more to your natural value. Versus if you have dark hair, then those dark denims and stuff will work fine summer or winter. But really, it's just thinking about, A, go more neutral, because we notice neutrals left. Don't go for a bright colour, it's going to become more obvious. So some sort of neutral or a more muted colour. This is why anything that's got more grey in it, it desaturates the colour and makes it recede more. And then C, just go darker than what is your top. So if you have a bright top or a lighter top, then whatever is on your bottom just needs to be a bit darker or more muted. So therefore, whatever is on your top is what advances and it's what we see. So hopefully that's helped. Let's see, another question out of my bowl. What's this one? Andrea, how to select the right necklace for different types of necklines? Now I've written a couple of blog posts on this, which of course I will link to if you go over to the blog. You'll be able to find them. So when we're thinking about necklines, what shape or what style of necklace should you wear? So with different necklines, you want to relate the shape of the necklace to the neckline. So if you have a V-shaped top, you might think about wearing a pendant that's got a slightly sharper end to it. If you've got a scoop neck top, you might think about something that's got a little bit more curve in it. Here is Arrow, my puppy, has just come to say hello. And then if you've got a square neck, you might think about something more rectangular, more square. So in keeping in harmony with the shape of the top. Of course, there's other things. There's so many things to do with selecting necklines, not, you know, necklaces to go together. So you want to be able to see it in the neckline. It needs to sit nicely in that neckline area. Also, you want to be thinking about the level of refinement. So what you're wearing and... So if I'm wearing, like today, I'm wearing something, you know, like it's more casual, it's a knit jumper. Do I want to be wearing something really over the top in that kind of delicate filigree diamond way? Maybe not so much. Doesn't really go as well together. Something a little bit more casual, a little bit larger in scale. If I'm wearing... So something very casual, I want to think about the materials of that necklace being more casual as well, versus when I'm wearing something more formal, then thinking about the materials of that necklace also being more glitzy, more glam. So of course, is that as well. There's lots of different aspects to choosing your necklaces as well. Of course, personality comes into it. Like, what do you like? What styles are you attracted to? You know, what expresses your personality? Are you small and dainty? Are you big and bold? Are you somewhere in between? Are you quirky, an individual? Like, are you handmade? You know, like, there are so many different other things too that go into choosing necklaces. But I will, if you go over to the blog, you'll be able to find, if you search up necklace to go with my neckline, you will find plenty of blog posts with images to show you how to do that. Okay, let's pick another one out. So what have we got here? Sonia's asked, getting organized, how do I make sure I have the right pieces? There is no list. In the old days, when I did my training many, many years ago, I remember, you know, I was given a bit of a list of what everybody needs in their wardrobe. And it was very much a, you know, we all need X number of shirts and X number of, you know, suits and all that sort of stuff, which really has gone by the wayside because our lifestyles are so different. Where we work, what we need to wear to work, they are different. You know, how we actually spend our time. It's all very different these days. There's no, you know, specific, you get dressed certainly, you know, one way in the morning, a different way for the evening. Like people used to dress for dinner. None of that really happens anymore, does it? So when we're thinking about what do I need in my wardrobe, this really comes down to you and your lifestyle. It also comes down to how much do you need? It's a question I get asked all the time is like, how much do I need in my wardrobe? And it's like, well, it really depends what you do and how you spend your time and how many different activities, what sort of things you do, and how many options you enjoy wearing. So do you like lots of different things, lots of different options? Are you someone who likes wearing more like the same thing all the time? Because that's also going to influence how many pieces you need in your wardrobe. If you're someone who likes a lot of variety, a lot of options, you're going to have a bigger wardrobe than someone who actually likes less variety and less, and so therefore will, you know, want to have a smaller wardrobe, more of a capsule wardrobe. Or you might have a more of a uniform wardrobe where all the pieces look more similar, so they go together in that sort of way. So of course there is that. So one of the things I recommend you doing if you're trying to work out what you need is every time you get dressed and you're having difficulty, you're struggling, is to write that down. Like notice what is it that you're missing from your wardrobe. Most of the time when most of us go shopping, we go without a list. Unlike when we go to the supermarket and we have our list of I need X, Y, and Z to make whatever dishes I'm making. Think about the same thing for your wardrobe. You need X, Y, and Z pieces and accessories to make whatever outfits you are needing. So therefore, think about how do you, you know, like, you know, what do you need? So how many layers? Are you a hot person or a cold person? This very much changes what you need in your wardrobe. I'm a cold person, so I need lots of long-sleeved, warm things because I get cold really easily. I've got many clients and I get in their wardrobes and they'll tell me that even in the dead of winter, they'd never wear anything longer than a 3/4 sleeve. And they find that even just wearing a light jacket over the top, they get too hot. And I can't imagine it, but I know for them, they don't need the amount of layering that I do. So I think that's something that's also really important to think about is what are your own kind of physical requirements as well? Because that will influence what choices you make and what you need and how much you need in your wardrobe. In winter, I'm on average wearing 3 to 5 tops every day. That's without even the bottom. That's 3 to 5 layers on my top. And so therefore I need a lot for winter because I need a lot of layers because they're getting worn all the time and I'm wearing a lot of layers. So, you know, really it is, it's dependent on you and your lifestyle as well. So I always think it's good to have some sort of notebook in your wardrobe or somewhere that you're getting dressed, that when you're getting up and getting dressed and if you're trying to put outfits together and you're just finding, oh, maybe I lack a layer. It's going to be a bit chilly later. I'm going to need a jacket or something. I haven't got anything that goes, you know, might have tried everything in your wardrobe and you go, I haven't really got anything that goes over this. That is then, you know, maybe that's something that needs to be bought. Or have a look at all the clothes. One of the things you can do too is work out what you're really wearing. So, you know, you can do this by turning all your coat hangers around and not actually turning the coat hanger back to the other way until you have worn that garment. And then the coat hanger can go in the other way. And then after, you know, a year or each season, look at those seasonal pieces because ignore the things that are out of season. They're irrelevant for you at that time. Of course, you won't have worn your summer clothes in the dead of winter. So, you know, we don't have any expectation to. But after a year, you should be starting to get a good idea of what you're really wearing, what pieces get worn all the time versus what are the pieces that aren't. So what often then, because we'll often have first best, like the piece that I'll go to, that my favorite piece, something that I really enjoy wearing. And then there'll be the things that it's like, I'll only wear if I really, really have to and everything else is dirty. Maybe they're, you know, and then there's the pieces that just never get worn or they get put on and taken off again. They kind of just never quite make the cut. And so they may be the pieces you want to let go of out of your wardrobe to make some space for the things you really do need. Because, you know, one of the things that people don't often appreciate is that, yes, clothes may be expensive, and especially if once we spent the money on a piece of clothing. And this is why Angel and I have talked about this in a video recently, about how that it's better to make a decision before something comes into your wardrobe, like a good recruiting decision, as she described it, rather than once it's there, because often once it's there, it's harder to let go because we feel like we've spent money on it, and so therefore it has more value. But if we're never wearing it, then it's taking up space, and space also has value in our lives. You know, we actually don't feel great when we're overly cluttered with stuff. Well, that's most people. There might be a few people who don't feel so bad when they're overly cluttered, but most of us like to have a bit of space. It kind of gives us mental space as well as that physical space. So if your wardrobe is stuffed full of clothes and you're really just not wearing them, it's good to be able to assess what is getting worn, what isn't getting worn, and then actually let some pieces go when you just realize that that thing is never getting worn and that your space is just as valuable. In fact, even more valuable. If you think about it, if you had to go and build a whole extra room onto your house to store all the garments that you're not wearing, but you don't want to let go of because they have value, that actually is much more expensive than the cost of those garments, even if you added them all up. So it is, there's so many aspects to how do I get all the pieces in my wardrobe. So part of it is working out, spending some time noticing what you do wear, what you don't wear. And then also what's missing, so what you might need in your wardrobe, and then letting go of all the things that you really aren't wearing. And there's lots of ways to learn about why you're not wearing them, because sometimes it's just like you've got something that's better, you love it more. Sometimes it's about, you know, the figure flattery is not quite there, the color's not great, those sorts of aspects as well. These all come into it. So the more you know, the more you are educated about your own style, what works for you, your style, personality, all these things are really important in building a good wardrobe that really works for you. And even things like, you know, what comfort level you require, you know, all your location, you know, things like environment have a big impact, how you spend your time. You know, look down, write down what's your average week look like, so therefore what kind of clothes do you need? All these things come into it. And this is why I like my 7 Steps to Style program. It's full of information to help you nut all that stuff out so that you can actually make much better wardrobing decisions and purchasing decisions, because, you know, we want to recruit the best, don't we? As if we were recruiting people to be employees. We only want the best employees. We also only want the best clothes in our wardrobe to help us fulfill our style dreams. So there you go. That's today's questions. And I'll be back again tomorrow with some more of your questions. Thanks for watching. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and color tips. And don't forget to visit InsideOutStyleBlog.com, where you'll discover Imogen's encyclopedia of color and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.